turf along with me. Simple as can be. Next time you'll be in the
Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cinema, a Smurfcast about movies based on cartoons that tries to answer two very simple questions. Is this a good movie, and is this a good adaptation of the cartoon it's based on? I'm your host, Matt S. The S stands for Smurfs.
And I'm Jolson, and I've been injecting disinfectant before it was cool.
And today we are going to be covering... Oh boy. The 1983 release, Smurfs and the Magic Flute.
Look, I get it's a bad thing to not tell people not to listen to something, but I wouldn't blame you if you didn't listen to this.
We're going to try to make this as entertaining as we possibly can, but I can't lie to you folks, this week was a rough one.
Did you hate the Yogi episode? If so, oh boy.
Yeah. So... Last week we covered Popeye, the live-action movie, and we, in retrospect,
we should have
savored that more, because folks, we are officially in the Dark Ages. We're in the 1980s. We're covering for the entire month of May. We're covering the year of 1983 to 1985, where there was 1985. We did not have a single mainstream wide-release animated movie that was not based on a toy or TV show. There was not a single original American animated movie for the entire calendar year of 1985.
I blame Reagan.
I mean, like, genuinely, yes, it is partially Reagan's fault. this is when television regulations were loosened, along with every other kind of regulation, because this is what conservatives do when they're in power. So basically, children's animation, children's television was allowed to become commercials because regulations about advertising to children had been lifted. And so basically every cartoon on TV was an advertisement for some kind of toy. And
to be fair, at this point, Reagan probably had the mind of a child.
Yeah.
Is that too soon?
No, I don't think it's ever too soon to point out that Reagan's brain was mush partway through his presidency. Now, to be fair, the Smurfs, not based on a toy. This was based on a beloved Belgian comic series called the Strumps, if I'm saying that right. Probably not.
They need to stick to waffles.
So I asked on Twitter, because I was genuinely curious, if anyone has ever truly enjoyed the Smurfs in any medium, and we got 5 votes. It came in 60-40, the majority saying yes, 40% saying no, but a slim majority, and I felt like I needed to ask that, because I know that, like, in Belgium, Peyo is like a national treasure. He's an icon. He's like the way we look at, like, Charles Schultz or Karl Barks, that's how they look at Peyo. He's beloved. His work is beloved. I cannot stand these little blue fuckers.
I will say that he has a, like, very pleasing art style for humans.
His art is very nice. I will give him that. He's a very good cartoonist, and his comics are probably fine. I have never read a Smurfs comic. I have never read a Johan and Peewit comic, which is what this movie is primarily based on, but I have always hated the Smurfs since I was a kid, watching Boomerang. This was like the most boring show on the planet. I hated it so much, and I have never understood the appeal of these characters.
I even, like, because usually, like, I will watch an episode before this, like, because we're supposed to, but I distinctly remember, like, watching as a kid, and I still have it burned in my memory, like, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, I did attempt to watch a couple episodes of the Smurfs. I could not do it. That Hanna-Barbera series is putrid. I hate it so,
like,
much.
Take Hanna-Barbera at, like, its worst. Hanna-Barbera at its worst is, like, Rankin and Bass. It's insufferable.
Horrible. The absolute worst. And this movie was not made by Hanna-Barbera. This was originally released in European territories in the late 70s. a direct adaptation of a storyline from the comics that introduced the Smurfs back when they were characters spun off from Johan and Peewit. And this was a very big hit in Europe. And eventually, when the Hanna-Barbera adaptation of the comics got big here in the U.S., they decided to bring this movie over and dub it into American English because there had already been a U.K. dub.
I want to know what their definition of big is for the United States.
I mean, the
like,
Smurfs...
Was, like, one guy like, oh yeah, this shit's great!
People love Smurfs. I couldn't tell you why. I don't understand it, but people love these little things, and I...
If I saw a Smurf in real life, I want to punt one. I want to punt one of those motherfuckers.
If I saw a Smurf...
I feel like I could reliably punt a Smurf through an upright.
I would dropkick a Smurf across a football field, and I'm not even joking.
Hand me one. They seem like a good, decent kick weight.
Three apples high, probably way less than a football.
Yeah, but they still have, like, that velocity factor.
Oh, yeah. You kick one of those things, they're going, like, miles. That Smurf is fucking dead.
that's the only way we can put that bit in.
Had to get it in there somewhere. Dead.
Because it's the only way we are going to get that bit in is I'm fucking dead after watching this movie. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no one dies in this movie because nothing fucking happens in it. So, I mean, I guess we can get into the movie.
Can we just get the obvious joke out of the way? Magic flute? Like... Come on!
This is... This is how broken my brain is that I didn't even put that together.
What, was phallic recorder not taken?
And it's important
Pretty sure there's a gay club up in North Minneapolis called the Magic Flute. Probably a fine establishment. I'm probably gonna say that I would rather go to that establishment right now than watch this movie again.
Any day of the week. So we should mention...
Speaking of which, our first meetup will be at the Magic Flute. Be so there, be Smurf.
So we should say, this is not based on the Hanna-Barbera cartoon. It was put on the list of movies we had to cover before I realized that, and it was too late to change it, so we're doing an episode on it anyway.
It's jank as fuck.
Yeah, this was made in Europe. The English dub does not use the Hanna-Barbera voice actors.
They don't use voice actors.
They use a lot of non-union voice actors who were just starting to get work in, like, the early anime dubbing scene.
They got Nell DeLank.
Yeah, the main character is voiced by...
Roland South.
The main character is voiced by Cam Clark, who most of you will probably know as Liquid Snake from the Metal Gear Solid series.
Kojima saw this and went, yeah, this is my shit!
Yeah, not Cam's finest hour, gotta say.
Set six bullets.
Everybody else in this...
Don't quit your Smurf job.
Yeah, so I made the mistake of watching the version of this that they uploaded on the official Smurfs YouTube channel.
Which I will be posting the DM on Twitter of you figuring it out. And it was great. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning, and we are like going over like, because like that's when we're usually up. It is like 3 a.m. is when we're like usually reliably both up, and we were like going over the Patreon episodes, I think.
Yeah.
And it was just, you're like, oh fuck, god damn it. I'm like, what? There's another version! And I'm just like dying laughing at 3 a.m. and I'm trying not to wake up my parents. Because you're like, god damn it. You have a full-on mental breakdown in the DMs.
Yeah, so I did not watch the version of this that released in U.S. theaters, which is the entire reason we're covering it. I watched the U.K. dub, which is horrible. Like, okay, so I gotta say, I did not end up watching the American dub. I could not stomach watching this movie again.
I am fine with that. I don't think anyone's gonna be mad at you.
I think, did you watch the U.S. dub or the U.K. dub?
Yes, I did. I watched the U.S. dub.
Okay, so we have both perspectives.
Which I don't know if they've officially released it again.
No, from like, what I was able to gather, it was released in theaters in the U.S. in 1983. It was released on the first home video release in the U.S. And then apparently subsequent releases used the UK dub. So this
Suck
is kind
Evangelion.
Of yeah, this is like an abandoned dub of this movie. I didn't watch it. I watched a clip of it, and it was just as bad as the UK dub that I sat through, which was awful.
Why do they even need to redub it?
Because I don't know. The accents aren't even thick. I'm a stupid American idiot in Texas. I'm bad with accents. I can't understand.
Did they say bloody wanker like too many times?
I had to, you know, when I watched The Long Good Friday, I had to turn on subtitles because I'm an idiot yank and I didn't know what Bob Hoskins was saying. I could understand this fine. I don't know why it needed a redub, but it got one.
It's because it was a Reagan era. I'm blaming Reagan again.
The Reagan 80s were so racist.
It was America. Yeah, we were like, it was like, wasn't the bicentennial cup, like, we had just passed? We were still high on, like, the tea party's, like, 30 years away? Hell yeah.
And
this movie has broken me. If you hear me laughing and just, I am broken. I have gotten off of just watching this. My sleep schedule is fucked. And I texted him. I'm like, I need to take a shower. This broke me.
Jolson's been jokerized by the Smurfs.
You get what you smurfing deserve. catch me at the magic flute stairs. I'll be doing the dance.
All right, let's get into this fucking movie. So before we start getting into the plot, I guess we already got into what we thought of it. I'm trying to follow the normal routine when this is not going to be a normal episode. We're too delirious for this to be a normal episode.
Why did we pick this? See, what we've learned today is we always have to read the Wikipedia articles on these. Because, like, we've been pretty, like, reliant on, like, oh, yeah, we've looked up, like, what shows, and we saw this, and we're like, okay, this works, and then we read the Wikipedia article after we record the promo. We're like, god damn it. But weirdly enough, this is relevant to the series. There is a turning point in this series because of this success of the movie.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. The theme of this episode is going to be, this could have been avoided. Because this episode could have been avoided. So anyway, so this movie...
I'd rather watch Yogi again.
Honestly, Yogi did get a re-release around this time. If we really wanted to, we could have just covered Yogi again. But...
And I probably... See, I... And you even brought this up. And I want to... You wanted to say that, like... You're... What parent... This is only 71 minutes! Barely longer than an hour. Who the fuck is taking their kids to this?
I feel genuinely bad for the parents in 1983 who had to sit
through this. I am angry. This is a war crime.
this is an attack on America by the Belgian people.
Yeah. Give the Geneva... Aren't they close to the Hague?
Oh, God. If we had listeners in Belgium, I'm sorry. We're going to lose you with this one.
No, I'm not saying sorry. Fuck you. You're complicit.
We're going to be desecrating your national icon. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look,
we've already lost the OJ listeners. We're burning through.
Okay. We have to talk about this movie. I don't know how we're going to do it.
The only way I could ever imagine, like, enjoying this is if you are on so many substances that, and also you have this, like, weird post-ironic sense of humor, even like worse than ours.
No, I can't even imagine. This gave me like an actual headache. Like, my head physically hurt watching this movie, and I'm not saying that like as a joke.
The image you sent me, the Dr. Phil, the headache relief, and that makes sense now.
Okay, getting into the plot such as it is, we're in Europe in the Middle Ages. There's
the
king.
The plague has come by.
There's a king. There's the king's, like, servant boy or something named, in the UK dub, they call him John.
I think it's something like in the Pee-wee.
Well, that's the other guy. In the UK, so
Oh, yeah! Yeah, no, it's still John.
Yeah, so in the UK dub and the US dub, apparently, they call him John. In the original comic, his name is Johan.
Because we couldn't stomach the, like, Johan. That's too foreign.
Yeah.
That's like spicy mayo.
too rich for our American palates. So there's John, and there's this other guy, the court jester, whose name varies depending on the dub. In the original comic, his name is Peewit. In the UK dub, they call him William. In the what do they call him in the American dub?
I think it's Pee-wee. I am not sure if it is. I think it's Pee-wee.
Really,
I am gonna say
want?
It is Pee-wee. Jesus. I am gonna say it is Pee-wee.
Yeah, so Pee-wee in the US dub. The name changes don't make sense to me. But anyway, John's thing is he's like loyal to the king. He's like his right hand man, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the relationship is there. The movie doesn't really get into it. He wins a joust at the beginning. The king bets on. It's not significant. And then
there's illegal betting going on.
Yeah. And then William, this little short guy who basically looks like a human smurf, he's the court jester, and his whole thing is that he's very bad at music.
He's very mean-spirited.
He loves to play music, and he's insanely bad at it, and that's the entire joke. And
he's Fred Durst.
Yeah, yes, he's
Fred Durst. Chocolate starfish!
He has a movie starring John Travolta coming out next year.
Do it anyway. For the nookie!
So imagine a movie where the entire bit is that the main character is bad at music but loves to play music. Now imagine that playing out exactly the way it sounds.
And not just that, it's not just bad music, it is bad cartoon music.
So these songs are already bad, and then they're, you know, filtered through, you know, an intentionally bad performance. And this is
Also, they have the most annoying instruments possible.
Right, it's all, like, Middle Ages instrumentation. So just, like, the most aggressively obnoxious music for an hour. This is the core focus of the movie, is this guy playing awful music. I'm getting, like, PTSD flashbacks to this movie. So, this merchant shows up to the castle with a bunch of musical instruments. I don't know.
The Resident Evil merchant ancestor.
Did he have an offensive Italian accent in the U.S. dub, or is that just the U.K.?
I don't know. They all have weird voices. The U.S. dub is very, like, haphazard, where it's, like, it's almost kind of like a really, really, really bad video game dub. Not, like, Square, but, like, where they can't switch the mouth movements at all.
Yeah, the UK dub is about the same. It sounds like people trying to hit their marks and not actually giving a performance.
And they don't even have multiple takes.
No, yeah, it's the voice acting. I mean, that's a big part of the problem with this movie, is that the voice acting, I assume in both versions, is extremely bad. To the point that it's actively unpleasant to listen to.
Where to the point it's like, oh, hello, Pee-wee, ha ha.
Yeah.
It's
like,
or like really bad VO has a tendency to explain things or bring up things that aren't relevant.
Yeah. Or like they'll
explain a minor thing.
Yeah, or they'll like talk really fast or
like hello, court jester, you're my favorite person.
Or they'll put like weird emphasis on things.
And the big thing is he gets this magic flute.
Right, so the merchant drops this magic flute from his bag.
It has six holes!
Yeah, that's a big important thing, is that the magic flute has six holes, which I guess is what makes it magic. But
you couldn't just make a... It's, at that point, isn't it a recorder?
I think so. I mean,
I'm gonna say it's a record. That ain't no flute. He hasn't blown in it sideways. He's blown on it straight on.
Folks,
which, please don't take this out of context.
Folks, try it at home. If you have a flute, plug up one of the holes. See if it turns magic.
Yeah. And the magic power fucking sucks. It's
the worst magic. So, Pee-wee finds the flute, and he discovers that when he plays the flute around people, they dance uncontrollably. And this is, like, the only possible part of this movie that could provide, like, some vague sense of enjoyment in that there's some...
Well, and also this, they barely bring up, this flute's indestructible.
Oh, yeah, you can't break it. You cannot destroy it.
They try to burn it, and it brings off this green, ominous smoke, which is a perfect, like, metaphor for this movie.
It's like the One Ring. It can only be destroyed by bringing it back to the fires from whence it came.
Cast it into the fires!
You see your door!
Dude! I just imagine him blowing into the flute. My precious! Dude! I'm the Joker fan!
Oh, this movie. So he finds the flute. He plays it and it makes people dance, and like,
and not even good dance. It's like their definition of dance.
Yeah, the animation is like loose, really awkward here, and this is why I say this is the only part that could maybe provide some enjoyment. There's probably some decent fodder here for like memes if you were to take this if you were to take this footage out of context and like put unfitting songs over it, you might like. We're not even talking about enjoying the movie. We're talking about maybe hypothetically finding some joy from alternate uses of this footage.
This is not cinema.
No.
I'm going to say
no,
it.
No, I'm going to...
Not Kino.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Marty would not approve of this.
It's not even a roller coaster. It's a, like, flat track that goes in a circle.
It's like one of those little, like... It's like one of those things that you put, like, babies on, like, baby's first roller coaster, where it's, like... It's not...
Not even. It doesn't even have the bump.
Yeah. No, it's just...
And it also has, like, screeching noise through the loudspeakers.
Yeah. It's like the little playpen where you leave your baby at, like, the cheapo amusement park that just has, like, a couple slides and also...
like rogue heroin needles.
Yeah, the slides are busted and the loudspeaker is supposed to be playing music, but it's broken and hasn't been repaired for 20 years, so it's just playing loud static.
And also there's locusts.
Yeah, there's a plague of locusts. Yeah. and it's destroying your crops. So yeah, so Pee-wee has the magic
there
flute.
we are not bloating this. We have like, we're broken.
Yeah, I know.
We're not trying to screw this. It is like, how are we going to make this an episode? And it is literally, like you said before the recording, it is our exhaustion that's going to be the episode.
I'm desperately trying to wring something out of this movie worth discussing. Like, all I have is a plot summary. That's all I got. There is nothing here worth exploring.
This is like when an English teacher hands you a poem that's so straightforward and they go, find meaning. And I'm like, well, the meaning's right there. What do you want?
This is like when my freshman English teacher handed me Ender's Game and I read it. And I was like, wow, this book sucks. And also the guy who writes it sucks. So what do you want me to do with this?
At least you didn't watch the movie opening night with your mom, who was really looking forward to
Jesus.
It. She loves Harrison Ford! Ugh.
I mean, I loved Harrison Ford at one point, when he used to act.
I don't think Harrison Ford loves Harrison Ford anymore. He hates Harrison. He, like, hates Harrison Ford from 10 years ago. Why did you sign up for this? I want to crash planes and do CGI dog movies.
Oh, man.
Fuck you, I hate Star Wars.
So
yeah, I'll do another Indiana Jones.
He likes Indiana Jones. I don't know why that's the one that he's okay with coming back to.
Well, I think he thinks whenever he signs this, it's like, oh yeah, I'll just get paid up front and no balls, they won't do it. And then every time they do it.
That poor man. They're gonna make him make another one of those. I can't believe it.
He's gonna crash the plane for real this time. He's gonna have the option and then go, it would stop me from doing, like, Comic-Con.
So, All right, we got to get back to this movie. We got to try. We have to try. I'm not saying this is going to work. I'm not saying that we got to make a good episode, but we got to try.
Also, if you notice, we are like 20 minutes in, and there hasn't been a Smurf.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're about 20 minutes into the movie now. Pee-wee kind of like just fucks with people for a while, messing with them with the flute, making them dance.
He's a dick.
He's a real dick.
And he gets what's coming.
Yeah.
He gets it.
So the merchant goes to a bar. And this guy... this guy named...
It's like the, like, Zelda almost, like, I'm gonna just set up my shit and sell it.
Yeah, just like a rug
it's
on
a
the
Goron.
Floor.
It's a Goron.
So he goes to this bar. And this guy named Oily Creep happens to over...
Not Gargamel! Gargamel ain't in
Gargamel
this.
Is not in this movie. This guy, Oil...
Neither is a is Lady Smurf?
No, Smurfette's not in this either. Which, to be fair...
I was close.
To be fair, by this point within the mythos, this would be before Smurfette's introduction. Within the Smurf...
What, before Katy Perry was born?
God damn it. We're gonna have to cover those fucking movies too. Jesus Christ.
You're welcome.
Enjoy
Guitar Hero.
So Oily Creep overhears that the merchant had a flute with six holes, which he apparently knows is magic. Like, is this common knowledge within this world that the flute with six holes equals magic?
Six holes. Is it like a four-leaf clover? It's like you got your four-leaf clover,
your six-holed
flute.
Your
leaves of three, let it bleed. Six holes of flute, it's magic.
So he goes to the castle. And
which Oily Creep is such a, like, well, what is the Oily Creep? I think we should... He looks like Harvey Weinstein. I'm going to say it. Which, from now on, I'm going to call Harvey Weinstein Oily Creep.
Yeah, it fits.
Hope you got Corona, mate.
I thought he did.
And if it... If, we don't know.
They're not going to tell us if he did.
I hope Harvey got the Rona.
On the you heard it here on the record, pro Weinstein coronavirus.
not Bob though. I don't know, unless something comes out about Bob.
This is the official position of Saturday Morning Cinema.
Is Harvey Weinstein not good?
Not good. Not a good guy. Very bad, in fact. Okay, Oily Creep goes to the castle, steals the flute from Pee-wee, and uses it to go rob people.
And it's, I want to say that when he robs it, they don't even show it. It is the most, like, they cut to the singers that they've already animated, because they don't want to animate him destroying things and tying up Pee-wee.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused by the sequence of it. So Pee-wee, he convinces Pee-wee to take him up to his room to show him the flute.
Pee-wee's a fucking idiot.
Pee-wee is very dumb. He shows him the flute, and he's like, hey, can I play the flute for a second? And he's like, yeah, sure, here you go. And then it cuts away to these...
Just stop when I say so, which... Ugh.
Yeah, it cuts away to these singers downstairs that they had shown earlier with reused animation. When it cuts back, it's the next morning. Pee-wee's room is, like, demolished. Everything is destroyed. Pee-wee's tied up. And I'm just thinking, like, if the whole power of the flute is that it makes people dance uncontrollably and they can't do anything else, then why would he even need to destroy the room and tie up Pee-wee? He just had to...
How'd he tie him up?
Right, how did he tie him up while he's dancing? Like, just play the flute and walk away. Why wreck the room? Why
See, I have a
evidence?
Theory. I have a... And also, this is when the first Smurf comes.
Oh, right, yeah. They fly in
this
on
is
a...
23 minutes in!
They fly in
and
on a stork.
You don't see them. They tease the Smurf. They tease.
Now... I don't know if they do this in the US dub. In the UK dub, the Smurfs have super pitched up voices. They all sound the same, and they all sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks. I don't know.
Yep.
Do they do that in the US dub?
The only one who doesn't have, like, a undistinct voice is Papa Smurf.
Okay.
I mean, a distinct voice is Papa Smurf.
Because the...
But, like, in the US dub, they show, like, them under a pot. Or, like, a... like a vase, and they're like trying to get the flute, which, and they just kind of, they 23 minutes in, they show them, and then for another 12 minutes, they don't. I was, like, keeping track of time because you said that they didn't come in. I want to know how, like, bad it was.
Yeah.
And I have a theory on this. I have a theory on this whole movie.
What is your theory?
All right. It will have to get into it because after they take the flute, they realize that to get the flute back, they need another flute. But only the Smurfs can create the flute. So they get a Merlin stand-in.
Yeah, what was this guy's name? It was something weird. It was like, I wish I had taken a note on this.
Yeah, who cares? It's Merlin. We're going to call him Merlin. Let's be real, it's Merlin.
Yeah. But this is actually the one other scene that I thought was like almost kind of neat.
It has color.
Yeah, he performs hypnokinesis to project their consciousness into the Smurf village. Which doesn't really make sense, because he's not projecting their consciousness into anything. He's just moving their...
He's doing what Luke did in The Last Jedi. Stupid Rian Johnson, he stole it!
Rian Johnson
ripped off... I imagine there is, like...
Rian Johnson...
I just imagine you see the two sons of, them setting, and you just see Pee-wee's cloak fly away.
That's Harry Potter.
Oh, shit!
It's all John Williams, doesn't matter.
I don't think... Was Harry Potter John Williams?
The first one, yeah.
Oh, damn. Good. Shout out John Williams!
In the Smurfs episode.
Send your John Williams appreciation post to the @RealOJ32.
But all bits aside, I'll also send them to the actual John Williams, because I think he's on Twitter.
Is he?
I think so. Him or his family. Like a representative, sure. Or something.
If not, we will use our shout out John Williams. He's good.
He's a good guy. Official position of Saturday Morning Cinema. John Williams, good guy.
Harvey Weinstein, bad.
Very bad.
This is where my theory cooks up. Is I wrote this in like a scribble. Smurfs are not real. It's drugs. You see at the beginning of the movie when the flute is being thrown in the fire, Pee-wee drinks so much wine. And this is like...
He downs an entire bottle. And this is where bottle. My theory... An entire jug.
Not a jug. And this is where my theory comes in, is it's the olden times. They don't know things. So they probably put, like, psychedelics in that wine. I don't know. But it is that this is all a hallucination from Pee-wee, is this whole story. Because he... Imagine this flute has magic powers, and... He keeps telling people it does. And his good friend John, he's like, I gotta fix him. So he sends him to Merlin. And Merlin tries to fix him, but he says that this flute was created by these little blue fuckers. The Smurfs. Which, they are sent to Smurfland. And this... I am on the official position that the Smurfs aren't real in this movie.
It makes it slightly more interesting. I'll give you that. I don't know how much actual evidence there is for it, but it makes this movie...
In my exhaustion, it was... It works.
Yeah. So he projects them into the Smurf village, where they're gonna have... There's no way to counter the magic of the flute. The only way they can possibly defeat Oily Creep with the flute is to have their own flute, and I guess... Make him dance.
I use the flute to destroy the flute.
A small price to pay for salvation.
Man.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna exposition Smurf. Brings him to the village, and they have Papa Smurf kind of like lay out the land, like, yep. We're the Smurfs. We smurfing Smurf.
They sing a horrible little song about how they look the same, but they all have different personalities. It's barely a song. Papa Smurf is like talk singing through the whole thing.
Wait, was the beginning of Smurfs 1, the animated movie, a reference to this?
Was it?
What? They sing a song about the Smurfs and what they are.
I guess? I never saw that one.
I'm pretty sure John Oliver is in it.
I never saw any of those awful Sony Smurf movies. Maybe. It's entirely possible that someone at Sony Animation has some kind of fucked up nostalgia for the Smurfs and the Magic Flute. I don't know.
See, and the Smurfs' personalities, they don't matter.
No.
In this movie, the only Smurf that matters is Papa.
Okay, genuine question to our listeners. Does anyone care about any of the Smurfs as individuals? Like, besides Papa Smurf and Smurfette, are any of these people, like, distinct characters? Because I don't believe that anyone does. I don't believe
the only one is, like, that's kind of is Brainy.
It's Papa Smurf, Brainy Smurf, and Smurfette.
They're like Pikmin.
I do not believe that anyone has any attachment to any of these other Smurfs. If someone tells me that...
Papa Smurf is like the Olimar, and the other ones are Pikmin.
That's it. They are, like, barely...
They're blue! They're blue! That's their character. They're blue.
That's it. That's the entire thing. If someone explain... Like, send an email to SaturdayMorningCinemaPodcast@gmail.com SaturdayMorningCinemaPod@gmail.com if you like the Smurfs as characters, and please explain to me, explain the appeal of these creatures. Explain why...
MLA citation.
Yes.
MLA citation. And I don't know if you used Easy Bib.
5 paragraphs, intro, supporting, and conclusion.
12-point font, Times New Roman, double space.
Explain to me why people like these Smurfs. Explain it.
And if you're Belgian, explain to me why the Belgians like it.
I desperately want to understand what people see in this property. Why it keeps coming back. Why we keep getting movies based on this thing. Why it continues to exist.
At this point, it has nearly the same amount of reboots as Spider-Man.
It does not make sense to me. And this whole section of the movie with the Smurfs only exemplifies all of the reasons that I hate these characters, because they aren't characters. They don't do anything interesting. Okay, we spent about 20 minutes in Smurf Village. You know what happens in those 20 minutes? Papa Smurf sings a song. They agree to build the flute. We get a montage of them building the flute. They sing another song about how their language doesn't make any sense, and all they say is Smurf every other word.
Except one of the Smurfs takes the... Pee-wee is saying Smurf as, like, a slur.
Yeah, there's this whole bit where it's, like, the song is... He's trying to understand their language and just replacing...
He wants
random...
water.
Yeah, he wants
he
water.
He wants water. So and he's like... And he's like, look at me, I'm gonna do it. And instead of, like, going, he's like, I think I learned their language after being there for 20 minutes. It's like going up to someone after you took, like, off your first day of intro Spanish and going, I want biblioteca. And then after they don't understand, you keep saying biblioteca.
Yeah, Pee-wee is being racist towards the Smurfs, and the Smurfs, in return, are just saying a bunch of gibberish in the most, like, piercingly high-pitched voice imaginable. Like, I don't know if it's as pronounced in the English or in the U.S. version. In the U.K. version,
it is.
They pitch
it's
their voices up so high.
Well, and there's distortion.
There's distortion. And it's like, it feels like needles being pushed into your ears. It is...
Like, it feels like the Animal Crossing voices pitched up.
Yeah, and also, like I'm okay with the Animal Crossing noises. I'm not okay with these Smurf voices.
Well, yeah, and then, like, I don't know how in 1980 you make that voice.
And I...
Because it's not sped up.
Like... What I want to know is, what must it have been like for grown adults in 1983 to have this movie blasted into their ears by theater speakers?
Oh, And it's, this is, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the reason it's 71 minutes.
Yeah, like, I literally, if this movie were any longer, I would not be able to stomach it. I would have had to, like, split it into multiple sittings, do, like, I'd have to watch it like a Quibi show. I'd have to break it up into 10-minute chunks, because, like...
Jeffrey Katz, Smurfs and the Magic Flute re-release of the English dub exclusive to Quibi.
Because that's the only way to watch it and get through it.
Which, assuming, like, if you're listening to this podcast 6 months later when Quibi is shut down, Quibi was a bite-sized...
Yeah, if you're listening to this a week from now, Quibi was a streaming service based around 10-minute chunks of content.
It was basically videos for when you shit.
Yeah, it was really...
And it cost $1 billion.
It's a really great move, starting a new streaming service based entirely around quick videos that you can watch, you know, on your commute in the little moments you have when you're going to work or whatever, right before a worldwide pandemic.
And also not owning any of the content you make.
$1 billion investment and they own none of the content. Man, Quibi is like...
We're going to make... I can't wait for the Quibi post-mortem.
We might have to do a post-mortem Quibi episode when Quibi shuts down.
Yep, our bonus episode for the month of May will be the post-mortem.
May 2020. Oh, God. And
Jeffrey Katzenberg, if you're listening, open invitation.
If he will come on the show, I will have him on to discuss Quibi.
Not like any of the relevant animation that we could ask him.
No, not about DreamWorks, not about any of that. I might have to ask him a little bit about Shark Tale, because I mean...
Yeah. Why'd you make racist fish? And why was Scorsese in it?
Like, what did you have on Scorsese that made him do that movie?
Is the next Scorsese movie going to Quibi? We need to ask Scorsese if it's cinema.
So, getting back to Smurfs and the Magic Flute. So they get the second flute after spending 20 minutes dicking around with the Smurfs. They go back to the kingdom.
No, they don't even go back to the kingdom. They're, like, pulled out of the Matrix.
Oh, right, yeah, I forgot about this. They get pulled out just before the flute is done, because the wizard is like, oh, you were out for 3 days, I was worried about you. And they're like, send us back.
Yeah, and he's like, bro, I was kind of low-key nervous.
Yeah, they're like, send us back, and he's like, can't do it.
He couldn't jack him back in the Matrix.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, at this point, I was struggling to pay attention to this movie, so...
Yeah. I was on my phone.
How did they get back to the village?
The Smurfs come to the real... It is not defined what Smurfs are in this universe. Are they in an alternate universe? Are they in a different place in the Earth? I don't know.
Yeah, the wizard says that, like, the only way to get there is through this hypnokinesis. But at the same time, the Smurfs seem to be able to just come and go themselves. So I don't know.
The end of this movie just doesn't make sense. It's supposed to be the climax. They have, like, a climax. It's there. Oily Menace he is apparently he's, like, partnering with a rival king. And he's like, I got this flute. And then during this ending, there's a flute off.
Yep.
That is, and the Smurfs are there, and then the big twist at the end is the Smurfs also made a fake flute that isn't magic, but yet still has 6 holes.
Yeah, well, so, doesn't Pee-wee like make his own flute as a copy of the magic one?
So is there only special 6-hole flutes?
I guess, and also, like, I guess there's no, like, Smurf magic to it. You can just
magic. They were offered Smurf juice at one point in this movie, and I want to know what Smurf juice is.
I don't remember this, but that is horrifying in its implications. So, getting to the end of this, they defeat Oily Creep. Pee-wee, I guess, is like a hero or whatever.
Yep.
And then the movie... Am I missing anything? Like, I... The movie just kind of ends there, right? Like, that's it?
Yep.
Okay, so...
It's like, credit... This is, like, one of the one things is these movies don't have endings.
No.
It's like, climax happens, ending. This happened in Yogi. This happened in Flintstones. These movies don't have ends. It's happened in Popeye. It's like, last shot of the movie is the ending. Yogi, it doesn't end the credits.
I didn't love the ending of Yogi, but Yogi had an ending. You know, they had like the...
Well, yeah, it's the helicopter.
Yeah, the bouncing helicopter going back to Jellystone, like, flying into the sunset. That's an ending. This is like, I watched this yesterday, and I could not tell you what the final shot of this movie is. I could not tell you.
It's Pee-wee looking up at the sky.
Great. I don't know what, like, did he have, like, a journey? Did he learn anything? I don't think he did, but...
Nope.
No.
It's, like, he was rewarded. He was given admiration for fucking up.
For basically cleaning up his own mess.
Yep. So, was this a good adaptation?
It depends. It's not a good adaptation of the Hanna-Barbera show, because it's not an adaptation of the Hanna-Barbera show.
I'm gonna say just because it has sound, no.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you really like that Johan and Peewit story that this is based on, I assume this is a faithful adaptation. I kind of think that it probably works
better
as... And
if you do like this storyline, why? Email us.
Like, I assume this works better as a comic, in that you don't actually have to hear the bad music. So
yeah, I could see this working as a comic much better.
Yeah. But... So, I mean, I guess in its own way, it's like, I guess it's a decent adaptation of that story, if that's what you want.
But yet, it's like, you're adapting, and again, our opinion on Smurfs are already laid out.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, like, you have to go into this knowing that we do not like this property in any form, so... If it sounds like we're being harsh, it's because this thing had an uphill battle to win us over.
It would have had to be the Logan
of Smurfs. So
just Papa is the title.
So I get, if we're talking about the American cartoon that this was marketed as a tie-in to, because that's how they tried to sell it. They told kids, this is the show that you like on the big screen. So
as the production company is like the Care Bear movies, which and they just kind of, before Hanna-Barbera could pick it up, they grabbed it and said, yep, here it goes, go.
Yeah, so in that sense, if we're talking about it in the way, like, does it live up to the way it was marketed as an adaptation? And I'm going to say no.
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 Because
they
were... Is it good? I rarely give out zeros. I am pretty forgiving. This is a zero. Even for when it came out, it's a zero.
Yeah. I hated this. I hated it so much. Any of the movies that we've covered so far, if someone made me sit down and watch Hey There, It's Yogi Bear again, I'd be like, okay, all right, fine. There's parts of this movie that kind of annoy me. But if someone tried to sit me down to watch this again, I would revolt.
I would stop being friends with them. Which, speaking of, I'm not friends with you anymore.
Oh, yeah, this killed our friendship. This is the end.
Yep.
This is the end of this
Hatfields
show.
And McCoys now.
Skywalkers.
This
and
show
Palpatines.
Is fucking dead.
Yeah. So yeah, extremely bad movie for a number of reasons. The animation here is not very good. The voice acting in both versions, I think we can agree, awful.
You're lucky you got Liquid Snake Camp.
The music is horrible. There's nothing.
I want to know if there was a vinyl release.
Nothing of interest happens in this movie. Like, it is the most uneventful 70 minutes you can imagine. Yeah, it's this just...
This is... I'm usually one who says, if you see a movie, you can't request a refund, even if it's bad. Even at this point. This movie challenged that notion.
Yeah, if I...
It's like...
If I
saw this, I'm demanding.
Yeah, if I paid $10 to see this, I would want it back. Yeah, it's just really actively unpleasant on pretty much every level. And I hope I never, ever have to watch it again. But yeah, I think that about does it. I think, thank God we're done with this, but we're still in the Dark Ages for at least another month. I mean, just looking at the schedule,
I'm not going to tease our next episode in case we could dodge it.
No, we can't.
No, then what is it? Just say it.
Okay, so let's go over the schedule real quick, just for the next few weeks. While we're in the Dark Ages.
This is me because I constantly forget our own schedule.
I'm just going to give you a rundown of all the movies we're covering for the 80s, because that's going to be the next couple months. So, all
right.
Next week we got He-Man and She-Ra, The Secret of the Sword.
Yeah.
We got, the week after that, the Care Bears movie.
Fuck you.
The week after that, we got Here Come the Littles.
Who?
Week after that, we have Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer.
Get fucked.
Followed by Heathcliff, the movie.
Shitty Garfield?
Then Care Bears Movie 2, A New Generation.
God damn it.
GoBots, Battle of the Rock Lords.
Probably decent.
I don't know about that.
It has big robots smashing up against each other. It's fine.
We'll see. Then My Little Pony, the movie, and not the tolerable one.
The one... Is Sia in this one?
No. I don't think Sia was born yet. Transformers, the movie.
Kino.
Closest thing to cinema we got.
The motherfucking Kino.
And then the week after that, Masters of the Universe. So...
Motherfucking Kino.
We've got two things that kind of resemble movies those 2 weeks. Followed by completing the trilogy, The Care Bears Adventure in Wonderland.
Wait, trilogy?
Yeah, we got Care Bears, Care Bears 2, A New Generation, and then The Care Bears Adventures in Wonderland.
The Rian Johnson trilogy isn't going to get made yet. This did.
We live in hell. And we're still not.
God is dead.
And we're still not out of the 80s. We got a couple more. We got Brave Star, the movie, which I know nothing about Brave Star. The poster's kind of cool, so, you know, maybe.
Yeah, that's the one thing, like, we're getting. I don't want to look up anything about it until we do, because I want it as, like, a bright spot in our.
You know, I say the poster looks cool, but then I look at the bottom of the poster and it does say Filmation on it, so. And then, finally, Pound Puppies and The Legend of Big Paw. Which, I didn't even know that was
an animated. Puppies.
I didn't even know that.
Pound Puppies certainly exist.
Yeah,
as a property.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. Everything else got, every other toy got a movie and a TV show, so. But, that's just on the main feed. I did mention last week that we now have a Patreon, and starting in May, we're going to be having bonus episodes exclusively on the Patreon, made specifically for the Patreon, that are going to be covering movies that are either only tangentially related to the main focus of this show, or just
cool shit.
Yeah, or just movies we feel like covering from around the era of the movies that we're covering on the main feed.
Yep.
So
of the month, it had to come out. The movies that we were covering within the month, it had to come out in the same year, or the span.
Yeah. So, to give you guys a preview of the schedule for the Patreon episodes for the rest of the year, in May, we're going to be covering Return to Oz, which is...
I fought for this one.
Yeah, yeah, Jolson really pulled for this one. It's an interesting movie. I'm sure we'll have stuff to talk about with it. In June, we're going to be doing Howard the Duck, which is
duck sex.
Historically significant. The first Marvel movie ever.
Yep.
So
yep.
Fun episode. In July, we're covering Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
One I haven't seen that you hate that I haven't.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that episode. In August, we're covering Cool World.
Which, I'm already sorry to Bukashi that this is your only movie we're covering.
Yeah, this is the only Ralph Bakshi movie we'll be covering in the entire series. It's unfortunately his worst film, so, you know, you win some, you lose some. We'll get you next time,
and
Ralph.
If you're Brad Pitt, you win Best Actor a couple of years later.
Thank God. He saved himself. September, we got Super Mario Brothers, the movie, which is another personal favorite of mine. I like that movie a lot, and I'm looking forward to talking about
it. Yeah, I defend it. I defend it.
In October, we got the original 1995 Ghost in the Shell, another very good movie that unfortunately is not part of this retrospective, but...
And also one that I have controversial takes on.
I am interested to get to that episode, but, you know, we'll get there when we get there. November, end of Evangelion.
Which, I have the whole original dub, because I was, like, I remember asking you, like, where I could find the original dub, and you're like, because I was going to watch the Netflix dub, and you went, no.
Yeah, no.
You straight up forbid me from watching it, even to, like, give them the streams.
Yeah, so that episode, because you've never seen Evangelion, so
I've seen one episode.
Yeah, so in November we're going to be doing an episode on End of Evangelion that is also going to serve as kind of a discussion on the whole series
franchise.
Well, you know, not up to that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you've never seen it. It is on Netflix. The dub on Netflix is really bad, but the subs are passable. So if you want to get caught up, you know, before November, watch it. You can watch it on Netflix. Just don't watch the dub. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that because that's, again, one of my favorite movies of all time. I think End of Evangelion is probably in my top five favorite films of all time. So
I mean, is it also So's Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, both of those. Those are like... Like,
and also Cool World is number one.
Yes, Cool World is my favorite movie of all time. no, but I mean, these two movies that could not be more different, but also are among, I think, like the peaks of animation and film. Like, I think those are two just incredible movies, and I can't wait to talk about them. And then in December, we have a dual episode, Ants and A Bug's Life. We're going to be getting into kind of the controversy there. The bitter corporate rivalry that led to those movies existing.
And also led to Quibi.
Yeah, huh. I guess, in a way, yeah. We'll get into that in December.
By then, Quibi will be long dead.
Yeah. And then finally, in January, The Iron Giant, which is just...
Which Iron Giant was the only one we immediately agreed on.
Yeah, we got to the year 1999, we're like... We're covering Iron Giant. It has to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Patreon schedule for the rest of the year, and those episodes will be coming out every month, and if you would like to have access to those episodes, you can sign up for the Patreon at patreon.com/satcinemapod for only $5 a month. You'll get those episodes. You'll also get access to the main feed without the anchor ads at the beginning. You'll also get access to our Discord server. Where you can hang out, talk with other fans of the show, and for only $5 a month. And we're going to have a lot of, I think, really good content coming your way that's going to be exclusive to the Patreon. These episodes will not be
that
available.
That isn't Smurf
yeah.
related.
Yeah, discussing some really interesting movies, and these discussions will
no
not
Smurf,
be...
No Smurf content on Patreon.
Strictly Smurf-free zone.
Yeah.
And these episodes will only be available... on the Patreon. They won't ever be going to the main feed, so if you want to listen to them, it's only $5 a month. So you can sign up at the Patreon link provided.
And we know when we're releasing it, the world's on fire.
Yeah.
If you can't donate right now, we get it. We totally 100% get it.
Yeah.
We are thankful for just listening. This is a project that I never thought that we would be doing. We have been working on trying to do something together for probably at least a year. And thank you.
If you would like to support the show in ways that don't involve spending money, there's plenty of options there too. You can subscribe to our show wherever you find your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Not on Quibi.
Not on Quibi, but we are on Pocket Casts and several others. So yeah, pretty much everywhere that you find podcasts, you'll be able to find us. So go ahead and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. And if you enjoy the show, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. I know it doesn't seem like much, but it's actually extremely helpful for algorithm reasons. It helps other people find the show. It helps us move up the iTunes rankings. So again, if you don't want to donate to the Patreon, which is totally fine, this is the biggest
way.
We
gotta beat the Pod Save America people.
Yeah, we gotta dethrone the Pod Save America people. We have to.
That's how we get a Bernie elected.
Yeah. But genuinely, leaving a 5-star review on iTunes is probably the most helpful thing you can do for the show. So please, if you enjoy us, leave a 5-star rating. And finally, if you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm on Twitter at Fawfulator. That's FawFulator.
I'm Jolson Tweets. It's Jol. No, yeah, Jolson Tweets.
And
it's not good there.
And if you want to follow the show for updates on new episodes and announcements and stuff like that,
The DM of us realizing,
yeah. Yeah, if you want to see the meltdown that was me realizing that there's two dubs of Smurfs, you can find that at Sat Cinema Pod on Twitter. And of course, again, we still are totally open to reading emails on the show. If you have an opinion on any of the movies we've covered or any of the movies that we're going to be covering, feel free to send us a message at SaturdayMorningCinemaPod@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to read it on the show. But I think that's going to do it for this week. So we will see you next week for He-Man and She-Ra, something about a sword. Secret
Take
of
fucking
the
shower.
Secret of the sword.
Secret of magic food.
We love the 80s.
Fuck you, Reagan.